This is Jennifer Hunt with Barbara Statham on the 8th of July 2014 at her home in Bedford. Barbara, would you just like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm now 88, and in 1965 I became a member of WRVS, or WVS then, still.
Mm-hmm.
And through being asked to become a Meals on Wheels driver or a helper for the first day, I didn't know what I was in for. I didn't know what it was all about. I helped with Meals on Wheels, and I became a driver, and in 4 years I became Meals on Wheels organiser for Bedford, and that's how it all started.
And what are your earliest memories of WVS?
My earliest memories are absolutely wonderful. So lots of lovely people that we met, and the work we were doing was so much appreciated by the, particularly the Meals on Wheels was much, much appreciated. I enjoyed doing that. It was really great. We had our vans. We weren't in a very nice office to start with. For 3 years we were in a very, very small office, which was pretty awful. And then we moved to our beautiful house in Kimbolton Road. And we had offices. Everybody had an office, a county office and a borough office. And we had a Meals on Wheels office. By that time I was Meals on Wheels organiser. And we had 5 rounds to start with. And that increased to 7 or even 8 rounds. Later on, we were very busy with up to 20 plus people to visit each day with meals, hot meals, and it was really very rewarding. Met lots of very nice people, dealt with the social services just before it became social services. All the rounds had their own welfare officer. They used to make sure that people were coming on the list who really needed meals. Some of them were a bit naughty and stayed on whether they needed it or not. And they were lovely and very, very grateful. And we had meals from different places to start with. They came from the factories, and then we moved. We moved several times to different places. And on the whole, the meals were very, very good. We had the old vans had metal heated containers, and we had to slide them onto runners, which wasn't very easy because if they came off, things like custard used to go over. And then eventually that stopped, and they brought in polystyrene boxes, which was much easier. And we did that I don't know how many volunteers doing Meals on Wheels. We were a very busy office in Bedford, you know?
Yeah.
Very busy. And I did that for 10 years, mm-hmm. as Meals on Wheels organiser.
And why did you decide to join WVS and Meals on Wheels in 1965?
Well, originally it was a friend who rang me up one Friday morning and said, my partner, my helper, can't do Meals on Wheels. Are you free? And I said, yes, I'm free. I'll come and help. So that's how it all happened. Before I knew where I was in it.
What was your opinion of WVS when you joined?
It was good. And I didn't know anything about it. I didn't even know what had happened during the war at the time, because I was still at school. I lived in Manchester, went through the Blitz and things, but I didn't realise that WVS existed. My husband did, because of course he was in the Air Force. But I had no idea until I was in it, and I became aware of all the things that they did. And of course that all increased while I was there to other things. It wasn't just Meals on Wheels, lots of other things.
Okay. And your first role was a driver for Meals on Wheels.
I was driver or a helper, whichever. Yes, I used to do about 2 days a week, two mornings a week.
And who else did you work with on your Meals on Wheels round?
I had one or two permanent helpers, but I can't remember their names, Jennifer. When I took over as organiser after 4 years, we had two drivers who came in three times a week, and all the others were on a rota system. Some of them would drive once a month. I had two doctors' wives who used to come once a month, particularly, but quite a lot of people gave up their time and came in every week. And we had people with their own cars as well as the vans. We had two vans to start with, and we ended up with four because we were given vans from the round table, there was another one of the, not the round table, the one of the big organisations here, and we were donated, one of the vans was donated to us, and we were invited to an evening ball at one of the local hotels, a very posh thing, and they got the van sitting on the top of the steps, and that was lovely. I mean, it was wonderful to have those vans. We had a river festival which is going to happen here before long again, and we entered all those vans in the procession, and we decorated them all. Our Meals on Wheels one was looked beautiful. All the vans showed something different than we did, and they were covered in all sorts of things, and it was wonderful because that showed people in Bedford that WRVS was, you know, was around and there to help.
And how would you describe a typical Meals on Wheels round?
We used to start, depending on the list and where we were, the lists were all typed, and when I was organiser, I had an elderly lady called Mrs. Ramsey who used to come in. She loved coming, and she liked the company, and she used to type and have a chat, and the lists were all typed in the order which would be the best way to deliver. And we used to go to people who were mostly ill or couldn't cope. We had one or two who were a bit naughty. Had one lady who she was quite a character. And sometimes if the drivers didn't turn up, I would have to go out. And I went to this Mrs. Wright. I remember her very distinctly, and. She greeted me with, "Oh, it's you. I hope you haven't got that there mince. It gives me the diarrhoea." Now, that lady got herself remarried, and the county organiser said, "Oh, I've got somebody from one of your lists on my county lists." I said, "Who is it?" She said, "Oh, well, Mrs. Wright, but she's just remarried." I said, "Oh, Elizabeth, aren't you the lucky one?" Anyway, that lady, her husband died, and she came back onto the list of our list, but I discovered her cooking her own meal one day, so she had to come off because we had a waiting list. We did have quite big waiting lists, which were seen to by by that time, social services. They vetted the people who came on the list, and we used to be there. We were there for them. We posted letters. Sometimes we had to ring up the doctor. One lady had hypothermia, and I saw her looking so ill, and she was in hospital within an hour of my ringing through. We were always there for them, and they used to, sometimes we were the only people they saw, you know. Some of them were very sad. One lady, she'd been on the list for years, and she said, "I don't know what I'd do without you." She just couldn't cope with with cooking or anything. And we had one who, when they did a reappraisal of all the people who were needed the meals, and I delivered the meal that day, and I saw this lady peeping round the corner in the corridor. I said, "Hello, are you all right?" She said, "Yes, I thought you might be social services, and I'm really ill today." But then she was lovely. It was very interesting altogether.
And what were the meals like that you were serving?
On the whole, they were pretty good. You know, the traditional, sometimes a roast, potatoes, sometimes mince, that their mince, as Mrs. Wright put it. They'd have fish, and always a very nice pudding. Sometimes steamed pudding, sometimes fruit. It was thought out, Jennifer, quite nicely thought out. Yeah.
And how did you become Meals on Wheels organiser in Bedford in 1969?
Well, really, nobody wanted to do it. And we had a meeting with Edna Woods, who was then our county organiser, and I volunteered, and I enjoyed it.
And what is your earliest memory of your role as Meals on Wheels organiser?
My earliest memories of
being Meals on Wheels organiser?
Well, it was a bit of a responsibility, and I had to cope with the money. Sometimes people paid for the week, sometimes paid every day, and then of course we went into decimal currency, which did cause a lot of problems because they didn't understand, didn't quite frankly, neither did I to start with. But then, I used to have to go and do the banking, but I managed to do it with no problem in the end. It was my main problem, of course, was always if one of the drivers didn't turn up. Sometimes they didn't for no apparent reason. We used to get volunteers coming in sometimes, and they'd volunteer, and then they didn't turn up. That does happen. And we never knew why. But that was the... I used to go every day. I used to be there by 9:30. And the drivers and their helpers used to turn up for 10 o'clock. Then go pick up the meal. We didn't like it to be too early because otherwise it was going to go cold. It was just before the time when they had thermometers and things. And we did worry sometimes if they were going to keep the meal until the evening, but it wasn't the bother that it isn't these days.
And can you tell me about the Bedford... Did you work at the Bedford Centre?
Yeah. Bedford, yes. At Kimbolton Road, we had a lovely house in Kimbolton Road. A really big, lovely house. We had a conference room, kitchen, and upstairs were all the offices. We had a county office and a local office, and a county Meals on Wheels office. And I used to work in the local office. I had a desk in there. Oh, that's my husband's cue. Yes, we had quite a big garden, where we used to do training for emergencies. We used to have soil boilers, which were stored in a shed on the at the side. We used to do quite a bit of practice out there, which was good. And we kept two of the vans there, the other two were kept in a garage locally. And they used to have to be picked up and swapped over. And that's another thing I had to do as Meals on Wheels organiser. I had to make sure that their MOTs were done and they were kept up to scratch and in good condition. And at the time, I got involved. I was asked by our county organiser, who had been approached by the probation department, if I would have two, I have a, well, not at the time, just one young offender. Would I be able to find any work for her? And I decided I would. Well, I had Kathy, and but I had to oversee what she did. She didn't do Meals on Wheels. We couldn't let her go out. No. But she did help in the house. And because in the house, downstairs, we had big store cupboards where we kept sheets and blankets and things that had been given to us that we gave out for people who came from social services. They were allowed so much every 6 months. We also had a clothing store in Bedford, and they had the 6 monthly allowance there. But we had all the bedding and the household goods, cups and saucers that people used to give us, and quite a lot of people, young girls particularly, if they were perhaps pregnant or were going into a flat and they had nothing, they were allowed to have so much. And so I used to be in charge quite a lot of the time of going down and giving these things out. And with Kathy, she used to help to clean the cupboards and keep things tidy. And I used to have to sign for her each week, yes, when she'd been. And then she got herself pregnant and left, and unfortunately got caught again shoplifting with her sister, been to Marks and Spencer's. And then I had a young lad, and he was different. There were a lot of things he could do, but one of the things he did do was see one of our staff putting money for the over 65s clubs into the file, and he spotted it, and unbeknown to anybody, he nipped out into the garden one day, and while he was in the garden, he was mowing the lawn actually. He slipped the catch on the kitchen window, and he stole the money, and that ended up with me having to go to court, which was unfortunate. He had to go to prison, and that, I didn't enjoy that at all. But so I said I wouldn't have any more. But that was quite an experience, really. Mm. I think he made good in the end. I heard he had.
Yeah.
So. That was one of the things that I wasn't quite so happy about. But on the whole, I enjoyed my 10 years with Meals on Wheels very much. And when I finished, I decided to finish doing that. And I was asked by Edna Woods, our county organiser, if I considered doing something else. And I said, yes, I would. So I finished Meals on Wheels, and my deputy, well, by that time I had a deputy, and she took over.
And then, is that when you moved to County Hospital?
Yes.
And why did you become involved with hospital work?
Edna Woods asked me if I would enjoy working with the hospitals, and I said yes, I would. Again, I had no idea what it involved. I was assistant to somebody to start with for a year, and then she left. She went, moved to Norfolk, and so I took over from Phil. And of course, it meant I was really doing the fundraising for the hospitals. Well, the profits, I was responsible for putting the profits from the WRVS back into the hospitals. And I had all the hospitals in the county, even the little ones. We had a trolley service, and I had all the big ones, Luton and Dunstable, Bedford. I had two, Fairfield for people with mental health problems, and Bromham for people with learning disabilities. And we had two little hospitals with trolleys in the county. And that was very enjoyable, because we gave in the 13 years that I was involved, we gave 265,000 back into the hospitals. It was a lot of money. Mm. I've got the books here where I wrote it down what we'd given. In the case of the Bromham and Fairfield, it was mostly things like things for the patients, but the other hospitals were mostly medical equipment.
Yeah.
And of course I used to have to write up to head office and get their permission to spend the money. And then I used to get a nice letter back saying, yes, that's fine. And we used to go ahead. So, of course, they didn't pay tax on that.
No.
And it was wonderful. I really, really enjoyed it. And, of course, that came to an end when I had to retire, literally.
Mm-hmm.
I had to retire from the job because of my age. And I retired on the day that I opened the new shop in South Wing Hospital in Bedford, and they gave me the most wonderful party. I had over 120 guests in the hospital. It was absolutely wonderful.
And you're also county hospital organiser as well as after you'd been the assistant. So how did you become the organiser?
Yes, when Phil Watson retired. Mm-hmm. After a year, and then I became county hospital organiser.
And who were the volunteers you worked with in the hospitals?
Well, the volunteers we had, there were lots and lots of local people. Luton and Dunstable had a lot of people working there, and it was a wonderful place. They had a trolley, they had a baby shop, they had a coffee bar, and they had a really big shop in the hospital as well as the one in the baby shop, and they had a really big rotor, and the person in charge there was Sheila, who sadly died last year. She lived down in Wimborne in Dorset. Sheila, she was absolutely marvellous, and she had two assistants. Mm. And I used to go and see them if they needed any help or whatever. I used to go down and see them, and also dealing with the gifting. And the same in Bedford. Now Bedford Hospital had, of course, they were volunteers, and Bedford Hospital had a shop and a trolley shop, and that became bigger over the in 1994 we negotiated to have the shop enlarged because the night staff didn't want to move out of their office next door, but they did, so we moved, so it meant that the shop could open longer hours, so then we had to actually employ somebody to work there because it started at 7:30 in the morning and they were open till 7, and they used to do newspapers as well. And we also had the trolley shop there, and then in 1993 we opened a baby shop. Now the baby shop started in Bedford North Wing Hospital, and then 2 years later moved to South Wing Hospital when they had a new building for the maternity. Mm. And we had the baby shop, which was very successful. It was lovely. And I used to work there as a volunteer on a Tuesday evening anyway, as well. I used to enjoy that. Mm. And occasionally I did the trolley. So I liked to feel that I was involved.
Yeah.
And when it came to Fairfield, was the one with the mental health problems, they had a very, very successful shop, and they had a trolley, and we bought them an electric trolley, which I went up to Morley near Leeds to get, to choose. And that was quite a thing, because they had to go a long way into the other wards, yeah, you know, with it. And it had to be locked because they had to go into the locked wards, which some of the ladies were a little bit worried about, but they did. And they're all so dedicated, you know, Jennifer. They used to turn up and they used to run those places absolutely like clockwork. Now, Bromham, unfortunately, I've got a lovely photograph or painting out in the hall that was presented to us when it closed in 1996. We'd done 30 years there, and we had a shop and a canteen for people with learning disabilities, and my husband and I worked there every weekend, which we enjoyed. And then in 1989 we had the most disastrous fire. I had a phone call one Friday morning just before Christmas from the chief, one of the managers. She said, "It's Sue, Barbara. Are you sitting down?" I said, "No, why?" She said, "You're going to need to." She said, "Your canteen and shop have gone." I said, "Sue, what do you mean they've gone?" She said, "They've been on fire and the whole lot's gone." Well, I was so shocked. I was absolutely shocked. So I got in the car and I drove out to Bromham, only to find the loss adjuster already there, and he was stomping around. "Oh, well, this is the end for this," he said. "You can't do anything with this." He said, "Sorry, that's it." He was really unpleasant. And I said, "But we're insured. We're insured for $110,000. I said, "We've got to rebuild." "Oh, you can't do that," he said. "You can't do that." He was horrible. So that morning, the residents were in tears because it was their place. Mm-hmm. So we took over the rec hall, the hospital's rec hall, and we got cups and saucers and tea urns and things from the hospital canteen, and we started to use that. And after about 3 or 4 weeks, we heard that the parents and friends would let us have their hut, which was quite big, if we could furnish it. Well, RAF Cardington were just finishing, and they were getting rid of all their equipment. So we got it, a lot of their things, tables and chairs and all those things, and we re-equipped, and we used parents and friends' hut for about 14 months while we were rebuilding. The residents watched the building. They gave two of them hard hats because they, Dougie and Keith, because they loved to watch. And we built that lovely, lovely place. It really was beautiful. And the national chairman came and opened it. Mary Corsar came and opened it. And that was there for 5 years. And of course the hospital went and they rebuilt on the site, which was sad, because it was a pleasure to work there, and a lovely new building. The residents loved it, and we had a great time. And we were all given, the committee were all given a picture, a watercolour print of the hospital when it closed, and I was given the signed, well, the one with, it's an original watercolour of the house there, which was the manor house on the site, and it's got on the bottom about with the grateful thanks to WRVS for all the years that they worked there. That was wonderful, and that was where my BEM came in, because of the work, because I didn't know anything about building.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, one of our county staff, is this all right for you, by the way?
Yes, this is lovely.
One of our county staff's husband was an architect, and I went to him. The police, first of all, had to provide a thing of the building for the police, because it was arson, really.
Mm.
One of the volunteers had gone into the shop and seen cigarettes, so he thought he'd have some cigarettes for nothing, and he broke in lit a paper towel, and that was what was the fire. 20 minutes later, the whole thing had gone. And it was quite a thing altogether. The architects produced the plan for me with my help, because I knew all about it, and then they recommended the builders, which were a local firm, and but I had to learn all about building and insurance, and I didn't know a thing about it at all. And I used to go to sleep at night and waking up and have a little notepad where I used to jot things down. Never really slept properly since. And then when it came to the insurance, Muriel Zaldosh up in insurance was absolutely wonderful. She was such a help. She was a lovely lady. And she and I had to go to a meeting in the insurance department, which we did. One of these wonderful new places in London where we went up on the outside in a lift. And who should be sitting there but the loss adjuster? And when he saw me, after being so unpleasant the first time, he said, "Oh, hello, Barbara. Call me Michael." But we got our own way, and it was all done. But I was the total loss in the country. It was the only time they'd ever had a total loss. But I did learn a lot, and working there was really wonderful. Not easy sometimes with the, but you felt you were doing such a lot for them.
Yeah.
Sadly, that place, after it closed, they were disbanded and moved into smaller places around the county, but where they were locked in. They weren't locked in at Bromham. They could wander around and they could go into the woods. In fact, Dougie, one of the lovely ones, who used to watch the building, came in one day with a great big bunch of primroses he had pulled up in the woods for me.
Oh,
it was lovely. It was so touching. Oh, they were lovely, lovely people. And we enjoyed it. And my husband he's been a volunteer for, 25 years, I suppose, now. So that was Bromham. Then we had the little trolleys. And unfortunately, of course, Luton and Dunstable lost their tender, must be 12 years ago. But they still got the baby shop and they still got a trolley. Bedford lost the whole lot about eight or 9 years ago. First of all, the tea bar went, because the politics there said they didn't want tea and sympathy in this hospital, which I thought was awful. They got their own bistro and a restaurant. And then, for some reason, we lost everything. They were going to have a new shop, and it didn't materialise. And I'm very, very sadly, all the workers walked out. Some of us went back as hospital volunteers, which I do on a Friday. But it's not for WRVS. No. But I hear them talking, Jennifer. I hear people in wheelchairs saying, "Oh, we do miss that lovely cup of tea and the ladies who used to talk to us." One of the ladies, it's her funeral next Monday. She's now, she would have been 97. We still kept in touch with the families. And she died last week. Some of them are still members of what was the association, and we are now Bedfordshire Retired Volunteers Association. We've kept together.
We're still
working on it, which is nice.
Very good.
Yeah.
And also, as well as working with hospitals over the years, you've done children's holidays. As well? Tell me about
the children's holidays. And I did the I was asked in, I think it was 1980, our emergency services organiser, Pat Henderson Begg, who was absolutely brilliant, knew that there was going to be no one as house mother in her local village, where they have a, actually it's in Emmaus now, but it was a school for a little bit like a borstal, a nice building in the country, and they took it over for holidays for boys, underprivileged boys, and they also had them for girls in another part. I helped with that once, but the boys, for 3 years I was house mother, and I didn't realise what I was taking on, because none of them were easy.
No.
We had to search through their cases when they came, make sure they had no offensive weapons. They didn't in the first year, but one of the little boys decided, well, he was an 11-year-old, decided he was going to steal everybody else's things that we'd given him. We gave them all crayons and book painting books and things. And we were also involved with the Bedfordshire Round Table. They funded their outings, and we had a coach, and every day we went out. But I used to have to cope with them at night. Most of them wouldn't go to sleep. So it was sort of parading down the corridors, particularly with two or three of them who were very difficult. I had, the first year, I had two helpers who came from the RAF, and I'd had two teachers as well, because we had, I think, 16 boys. And every day, three times a day, we had a team in from the emergency services, from the emergency group, all different ones from different villages, to come and do the meals. They came in the morning for breakfast, then they do packed lunch, and then in the evening they do the evening meal. Sometimes they stayed on and helped. They were absolutely wonderful, and we had a very good menu, which Pat Henderson Begg did. And in the evenings we used to go to her house, which she lived in the village, for a glass of sherry and a bath. Because we all felt quite tired, and I was the only one still. The RAF people went home. I was the only one who stayed overnight, which wasn't easy when, as I say, when they didn't go to sleep. One particular boy, the first year, was determined he wasn't going to let the others go to sleep either. And this happened for 3 years, and we used to go to some wonderful places. We went to. We went to Woburn, we went to Wicksteed Park, we went to the place where they, the proving ground for cars, which is very unusual for people to be allowed to go. And we went to Wicksteed Park, and we went to, we went to some wonderful places. Somewhere near outside Cambridge, where they had a big thing for children, but we had an absolutely wonderful time. Or we went to air museum, Duxford. We went to Duxford, but a lot of the time, of course, we were spent making sure that we still got the boys, because we used to let them go off. And we went to Whipsnade, and that was the day that one of them, he'd been an absolute nuisance all day, and he was really, really getting our RAF girls back up. And he was walking along by the electric fence. He said, "If I touch this, will I die?" And Shirley said, "Well, you might." Everybody laughed, because he was such a nuisance. But some of them didn't know. They didn't realise that they were going to have meals. They thought the breakfast. We found one boy had kept extra bread and things. He said, "For the rest of the day." I said, "But you're going to have your packed lunch and dinner this evening." "Oh, are we?" He said, I don't have those at home." And sometimes it was sad. Then I went, after 3 years, I was invited by Jackie White to go down and do Dell Farm for 2 years, which I did. The first year, that was a lovely log cabin near, just on the outside, just outside Whipsnade, You could hear the wolves at night. And that was quite an experience because it was a different place. It was really exciting and with lots of woods around, and it was lovely. And big greens where the boys could go and play football and things in the evenings when we got back from our outings. And again, we had the round table in Luton funding all the outings, yeah. and the coach, the same coach driver each time. And we had... It was great, and I kept a diary of it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read that one?
I sent one. Might have done.
Yeah, I kept a diary of what we'd done, because we used to have to make sure that they all had showers and anything that if they fell over they had to be looked after. Of course, you couldn't do that now, but they. We had one boy who was a bit of a nuisance the first year in Dell Farm. He was called Stuart. And he wouldn't go to bed. So I said, all right, Stuart, you and I will go and sit in the dining room. This was quite late on. And at 1:45, he was still sitting there. I said, are you going to write something down for me, Stuart, why I can't go to bed, why I don't want to go to bed? So he wrote something down. And eventually he said, I think, Barbara, I'd better go to bed. I'm tired. The following year, Stuart came again. I said, oh, hello, Stuart. We've got you, have we? He said, yes, to the other boys. He said, yes. And you'd better go to bed because Barbara will make you write why you can't go to bed if you don't. He remembered. But I had lovely cards, a thank you card, for each time they were signed by all the boys. Mm. They really appreciated the holiday. And some of them were really sad. They'd come from broken homes and never had a holiday, some of them. I don't think they knew what the country was like. So I did that for 5 years. I enjoyed it. And at the same time, they had girls. I can't remember where the girls used to go. But one day I was asked to go and help in Northampton. They had a narrow boat on the canal there. The girls were a different kettle of fish. They weren't the slightest bit interested in any of it. And they weren't very easy. I had three in the back of the car coming back to Bedford, and one of them was... She was called Karen, I remember. And she was... saying that she was fed up, she didn't like anything, and she said, when I get home I'm going to kill myself. So nobody spoke anything, nobody said a word. I had Joe Veazey sitting by me, also a wonderful person in Broughton WRBS. And then there was, after a very long silence, she said in a very loud voice, and when I get back I'm going to get packed up. And then I'm going to kill myself. I said, well, I don't think you need to bother to pack if you're going to kill yourself, will you? And after that, there was dead silence. She didn't say any more. But they weren't so easy. But I think, on the whole, they enjoyed it. We enjoyed the canal. It was lovely. Mm. Nice outing. But they did... Oh, and they had... I did go there once. They had a... holidays with Betty Rogerson organising it down by a river in Northamptonshire, and they stayed in log cabins. I spent the day with them, and that was a lovely, lovely holiday. And we did have such a lot of lovely work, you know, really. And at the same time, all that was going on, everything else was still going on everywhere else. Mm-hmm. And it was just so amazing. And then there was the magistrate's court and the prison. I used to do flowers in the prison chapel. I'd forgotten that. I used to go up, put the flowers up right at the very top of the prison, be escorted up there to put flowers. And we also... And one worthwhile was the family meeting centre. and I helped there sometimes on a Saturday. That was wonderfully well organised. In some places I still got them. I think they've got one in Hereford still. Mm. Where the children of separated parents would meet, usually with the dad who came in, mother having already left in case there was a problem. And that was sad, because sometimes the child didn't turn up and the father would turn up from somewhere like Derby only to find the child hadn't come. But that was one really worthwhile thing. And that stopped, unfortunately. Right.
And you were also, at the same time, you were working in the Bedford office answering inquiries?
Yes, yes. I used to be in the office, and I used to do interviewing as well. And if the phone went, I used to answer it. We used to have a very nice social time. Down in the kitchen in Kimbolton Road, we had a very big table. We used to have lunch round there. And our county organiser at the time was Doris Davison. She was absolutely wonderful. And she used to go to Barbados on holiday, and she used to sit and tell us about her holiday, because they knew Princess Margaret and Earl Snowden, who were there at the same time. They used to have meals with them. And Doris used to tell us how many times her husband had to light Princess Margaret's cigarettes while doing the meal. But it used to be great fun. And I was at the end of the table, and it was my job if the phone went, because I could get out easily, to go and answer it. And I started to do quite a lot later on. When we moved from Kimbolton Road to the little office in Bedford, in the middle of Bedford, Rush Court, we were there for 4 years. That was really just an office. And we were still doing social transport. And when that finished, no one was going to do that. And we had a lot of people, and we had a lot of drivers. We had about 7 drivers, and a lot of people who used that social transport. So I said, well, I'll do it from home. Well, somebody said, not a good idea using your home phone number, but I never had any trouble with it.
No.
And that gradually diminished as my drivers, two of them had to leave because they had eye problems. One went to live in Devon, and I ended up with only 2 drivers. But I was always there. I had an answer phone, and I used to ring back. They'd ring through and say they were going to doctors, or we did medical things, doctors or the hospital or wherever. And I used to ring them back, having rung the driver, and then tell them what time the driver was coming, and then ask them. I didn't know them. It was just on a voice on the phone. Just occasionally I met them in places like the hospital when I was doing the trolley. That's another thing I did, the hospital trolley. Occasionally I'd meet them in the hospital. And they'd say, oh, I'd say, yes, I know you, don't I? Do you? Who are you? I'd say, well, you talk to me on the phone. Oh, it's Barbara! I had this so many, quite a lot of times. And I did that social transport from home for 13 years until a year last December, when I was told rather abruptly, shouldn't be on that, should it, that I wasn't wanted anymore. Sad. So I'm now just helping somebody called Susan every week or every fortnight with her correspondence, and going as a sort of good companion. We had very good companions, very, very good companions. Dovizi organised that. And she used to pair the people up with the person going to visit. And she was absolutely wonderful with that. We had them all over the place, and she used to visit them And also she ran the disabled club in Bedford as well. That was nothing to do with it, but that was that. And of course we used to have five over 60s clubs. They were very, very busy. The people who organised them used to come in with their money each week and have a cup of tea and pay out their money. But they were busy clubs. They used to be 50 or 60 members. Mm. Now they've got one left in Bedford. It's not... I don't really know whether there's WRVS or RVS or doing anything with it. They weren't visited, but this club is still there, only the one. And they also had a luncheon club that Dovizi organised, which was WRVS as well. And that was very good. That finished when, because she's 92 now, and she'd still do it if she could, knowing her. And she's a wonderful person. She's absolutely marvellous. And, gosh, I'm just trying to think what else. There was so much. I mean, it was never ending, the work that we did. And when the office closed, the Kimbolton Road closed, we had a lot of the things were sold off for the things that we didn't need. But the things that were left, we had a manager, an Italian, area manager, Italian, Tony, and he asked me, where would you go with all these things, the curtains and the carpets and things, which were pretty dirty by that time? I said, well, I think we ought to go to the homeless and rootless people because they love them. And as I was a key holder, they came and cleared it all and gave it to the people who have no homes for when they were going into homes. And that's what happened to the house. And then Rush Court, that disappeared after 4 years. Then for a long time there wasn't an office here. Then they had a little office. They, funnily enough, went back into the first office that I started in, which was horrible, and she was there for 2 years and then moved to another one. Now it's Milton Keynes. So people haven't got the local thing at all. Because this morning somebody spoke to me and said, is it still going? I said, oh yes. He said, oh, I thought it had all finished. You see, they don't know.
No.
They don't realise. Because we've lost our focal point, like the hospital and the Meals on Wheels. Meals on Wheels went to Appetito. So that was social services. We lost the tender. But that was... I'm just trying to think if there's anything else.
Well, you said in your letter that you're also involved with emergency feeding.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, we did quite a few. We went out to feed the fire brigade. If there was a fire, we were called out to go and feed the firemen at the fire. I always remember going once, I picked Pat Henderson Begg up in the car in the village in North Bedfordshire. And I said, where are we going then, Pat? She said, well, I don't know. We've got to follow the fire, the light in the sky. So we were going through all these country lanes. It was a huge, huge fire. I think it was a haystack. And we had to wait till it had gone down before the firemen would do anything. So we fed them with hot coffee and things. That was great. That was good. That was really good. We did our training. We had a training session up at RAE in November, and it was foggy and it was very cold, and we were working through the night feeding the SAS, who were supposedly in an aircraft on the airfield. Mm-hmm. So we had to make meals in the soil boilers. That was great fun. Somebody put pearl barley in one of the soil boilers and it burnt on the bottom. Another time we were asked to do a breakfast for a family who lived just outside Bedford. He'd got a huge party of people coming to use his swimming pool, and he asked us to do a meal, and we did a soy boil. We did a cross trench cooker, and we provided the most gorgeous full English breakfast for him, with lots of smoke. It was great fun. I got involved with, you've heard of Yarlswood. Well, they had a fire there, and we were called out. It's the last time I did anything. It must be 4 years ago. And they had a fire, and we went to feed the police who'd come from all over south of England. I think there were about 200. The meals were brought to us for the firemen and the police, and we fed them while the fire was still going. And then the next morning we went and gave them breakfast. Then I had 2 days off where I had to wash my hair and my clothes because they all smelt of the fire. And then on the Monday there was no one going, and Jack, my husband, Dovizi and I were asked to go and do the evening meal again. And they'd come from somewhere like, well, sat on the south coast, and they said, oh, God bless you, we're so hungry and so cold and so tired. And they had a meal brought. I never did know where the meal came from, but it was very nice. And we worked from a police van. That was good. And we did, in my early days, when I was Meals on Wheels organiser, there was a huge pile-up on the M1. And I didn't go out to it, but I was there making sandwiches and filling the water boilers and getting them all. We had very big flasks, but that was, we did that a lot. We also had the Uganda Nations. Mm-hmm. Edna Woods went to Stansted and met them and brought them into Bedford, and we put out an appeal for clothing. Well, you've never seen anything like it. We had huge piles and piles of clothing in our conference room, and we gave it out, and that was quite a thing. And at the end of that, two of the Asian ladies went to live in St. Neots, and they invited us all to go and have a meal with them to say thank you. They were really, really grateful. But that was quite something. We had the clothes we had brought in. Our younger son was 11, and he's now 52, so you can tell how long ago it is, because a photograph of him helping in the conference room with the clothing. That was quite a, I think it was 1972, something
yes,
like that.
Yes, 1972.
I think it was 1972.
An anniversary this year.
Yes, I think so, yeah. Something like that. But it was, that was really well worthwhile. Because it was very cold, and they seem to remember that it was winter, and they'd come over from Uganda in the clothes that they'd standing in, you know, flimsy saris and things, most of them, because they were Indian ladies and men. So that was good old WRVS. They were so grateful to us. I'm just trying to think.
You told me about the hospital work that you've done. You worked in the hospital shop and canteen.
Yes.
And
The hospital shop, we sold lots and lots of toiletries, confectionery, magazines and things, and I enjoyed doing that. I used to work with the lady who sadly died, and we were going to the funeral. I used to work with her on a, very often on a Saturday afternoon, and we were busy. Mm. And in the baby shop, we were very busy. That was lovely because we used to see the babies mm. quite often, babies going home, and we had some little tiny clothes for premature babies. That was really enjoyable. And the trolley, we used to go around all the wards. I enjoyed that. I've done that since as well. we had, you know, we took a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
We really did. It was a good service to the patients. And the tea bar, again, we refurbished that 2 years before they finished with it. They altered the hospital. I was so sad because mm-hmm. we went to a lot of trouble to make sure that it was conforming yeah. to the regulations, you know. It was all tiled and everything was, we had a separate little room and to do the sandwiches in, and the staff loved it because they used to come and say what they wanted. We didn't have them displayed, they were made ready for them as they wanted. If they wanted corned beef or cheese and tomato or whatever, and the consultants were very upset when we left, when we finished. They signed a petition. I think there were well over 400 signatures asking to be kept. And of course, tea and coffee, soft drinks. We sold all the soft drinks, cans and mm-hmm. things. It was really it was really good. And then we had. We had two people working in the hospital on three shifts, one morning, afternoon, and when it came to the baby shop in the evening. That's when I did it. I was on my own there with a receptionist who I got quite friendly with, which was nice. But apart from being a good service, it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing. I met so many wonderful people. So I'm sorry that it's all over, really.
And we talked a little bit about before about the different offices that you were in closing. So how did that affect you as a volunteer when there was no office or no sort of local centre?
Well, everybody disappeared. When, in 1994, when it was all, was it 1994, 1996, it just sort of disappeared. Because we used to have village reps, and we used to have local places like Amptill. They used to have they used to work in the village hall there, and they had their own Meals on Wheels organizer, and all the villages had their own Meals on Wheels organizer. That's another thing I had forgotten I'd done. I used to go in on a Thursday morning and once a month and help, no, every week I used to go in to help Elizabeth, the county Meals on Wheels organiser, with the admin, because they all the sheets had to go into the local, the borough office,
yeah.
or county office, county treasurers, because they paid for it out of the local I'm not quite sure how it worked now, but that's what we used to have to check all the sheets, so the mileage sheets and things from the volunteers. And I used to do that on a Thursday morning, as if I hadn't got enough to do. And that was great. That was great. And in those days, of course, we had an area office too in Bedford, which we had the area for the four counties: Northamptonshire, Cambridgeshire, Bedfordshire. Northamptonshire, Cambridgeshire, Bedfordshire, three counties. Yeah, and they used to deal with everything down there. I'm still in touch with Pat Sherwood King, who used to work down there. She's a member of our association. And in fact, she used to do the hospitals. I had to go through the county office, then through the area office to get up to head office. But it used to work very well. They were great. And I had the great pleasure when in my early days of going up to our old headquarters in Park Lane. It was a wonderful building. Yeah, I was there one day when they were letting off a gun salute for the Queen. I can't remember how old she was, in just behind us. It was a beautiful place. It was really enjoyable. Then I went up to the one in, near Brixton, which wasn't so good. Wasn't very nice. It's all right, but the area wasn't very nice.
No.
But certainly Old Park Lane was quite something. Yes. Well, we had them. Interestingly, Matthew was very interested in the fact that we had Pearl Lawson Johnson, the Honourable Pearl Lawson Johnson, in our. She was a member, and I sent a photograph of her with Lady Reading.
Yes.
Taken in Bedford. And she died about 2 years ago. I used to see her in Sainsbury's. I used to go up and chat to her. She was a member of the association. She was a nice lady. She was a good age when she was still driving the car at 95. Yes, so what have I missed out?
Well, you've said to me in your letter that you'd helped publicise WRVS over the years. It's sort of the 60th anniversary. You did a display or something in the library in the museum?
Yes, I did, yes. I used to do the... I was asked if I would take on publicity, which I did, and I had somebody in Flitwick, which is 10 miles south, to do posters and things. I used to do the... I did, for about 4 years, I did a display in the library. I had the whole of the upper floor, which with the big display things. And we used to have... It was good. I was told it was the best they'd have.
Yeah.
And then in 1998, I had 6 weeks in the museum. I did 60 years of WRVS, all the memorabilia,
yeah.
including a uniform, and it was good. But I've got a photograph of that somewhere. Yeah. And I was really pleased with it. I had some very nice remarks in the book. Mm-hmm. I left a book by the side. Very nice remarks. And I hoped that would... It's a strange thing, Jennifer. All these things... Sometimes you leave a pile of things out for people to take and fill in and become volunteers. We never used to get more than four or five from each one, but I suppose it was worth it. We did get the odd few from the museum. But that was quite something to be in the museum like that. I was quite pleased with it. And of course, when we had medal presentations, we used to invite the top people, the High Sheriff mm-hmm. of the year, or Brian Woodrow, who was a High Sheriff 1 year, and then he was the chairman of the hospital trust. And we had Sir Trevor Skeet, MP, and his wife, who got stuck in the loo while she was there, and she was so upset because she said, "Oh, you won't tell Trevor, will you?" We had lots of visitors. I'm sure that there's nobody in Bedford these days who does that anymore. No. I'm sure. They don't seem to have. We had the mayor, of course. But the others, they were really good, and they were very supportive. And also we used to put on a lovely meal for them mm-hmm. always. Oh yes, and we had that horrible little kitchen where we used to sit round the big table. We used to take our own sandwiches, but a tiny little kitchen. It's amazing what we could produce. Beautiful food, buffet.
Mm.
For all these visitors. And from time to time we had the Meals on Wheels organisers coming for tea, or the Meals on Wheels helpers from a certain area coming to tea or coming for lunch. We used to look after them really well.
It was sort of more of a community.
Yes. Oh, it was.
A social thing.
Yes, it was.
And now you started and you still do visit people as a volunteer.
So well, I'm visiting one person. She had somebody visiting her and they dropped out and I now go to see her. As somebody I didn't realise who it was going to be when they asked me to go. I said I hadn't realised that it was going to be somebody I knew, mm-hmm. I'd known for many years. And she's not very well. She suffers from ME.
Mm.
And she has a lot of correspondence she can't cope with. And she's recently lost her mother. So apart from anything else, I'm sort of good companion, really.
Yeah.
So we sort out all her correspondence and then we have a chat. Which is nice. They have asked me other things. I can't really do anything now. Not really. I'm sorry because I'd like to help them. But I do get the odd phone call from people who I used to help with the driving because for transport. I can't get hold of Milton Keynes office. They're not answering the phone. What am I going to do? I said, leave it with me, I'll phone Vicky and see if Vicky can sort something out for you. And I'll give Vicky your phone number and then she will give you a ring. Because sometimes they're not manning the office, unfortunately. I mean, because they used to ring me, they always knew I would be there for them. If I was away, I used to tell them I was going away, as many as I could, or they'd realise I was away. But I'm still, I want to carry on just as long as I can.
And tell me about your British Empire Medal that you've received for WRBS work.
I received that 1991. I had a letter to say that my husband brought the letter up in the morning. He said, "It's funny here, you got a letter from the Prime Minister." I said, "Oh, don't be silly." And it was to tell me that I'd been awarded the BEM, and I received it from the Lord Lieutenant. And they gave me a lovely supper at the hospital I had the ceremony at the hospital. It was quite an evening. And I've seen him quite a few times since, because the association is always invited to the voluntary service for the Lord Lieutenant's volunteer service. Now, he retired, and the new one, again, lovely lady, and I have my photograph taken with her not long ago. She's a new one, and I went in uniform. That was at 2 years ago. She asked me to redo the reading.
Yeah.
And so I was wearing my medals there.
Mm-hmm.
So she was the chairman of the hospital trusts, and all our ladies knew her because she used to come in a lot. So of course they were all thrilled to bits that she would be. She became Lord Lieutenant. And she's really a very, very nice person. And she had a letter asking if I would do the reading. And she'd chosen one of the longest readings that she could. It was really good, but in the church it was quite something. So, the actual BEM, there were two of us. Oh, she also, she was the other person was got it at the same time. But she, it was nothing to do with WRBS. It was something else. But we were invited to. Well, we asked if we could go to the service that they hold for the holders of the OBE and etc. at St Paul's Cathedral, and she and I went to that. Just been the once. They hold it every 4 years. Yeah. Dorothy Ward's been.
Mm.
And I think Jackie White's been. And absolutely wonderful. Never been to anything like it. Duke of Edinburgh was there. It was a real honour. So, yes, I felt very honoured to get it. And it was really, I think, mostly because of my work for Bromham.
And are there any other stories or memories that you'd like to share about your time with WRVS?
Not really. Just getting used to all the different cars that we drove. We had two cars as well as the vans, and it was just so varied. Everything was, you never knew what was going to happen any day. It was wonderful. But I couldn't have done it without him. He's just been to the physiotherapist. He's got a walking problem like I have, but he's been a great support as a member as well. He's got his little badge, I think, for 25 years. All right.
Hello.
How many years have you done with WRVS?
Oh, 100.
I was just telling Jennifer about Bromham.
Bromham, yeah.
Yes. And your transport. Oh, yes, Jack used to do social transport.
I did enjoy Bromham.
Yeah, we did.
And since you joined in 1965, how has your opinion of the organisation changed?
I think it was a wonderful organisation altogether, and I think Lady Reading would have been very proud of it. I'm not so happy now.
Mm.
Not really. I felt upset that it went the way it did. I know they had to, but I don't think it was... In the first place, Jennifer, perhaps I shouldn't say this, should I? In the first place, they took on too much. They had four places. They had Darlington, Cardiff, and two other places. And then they found that was too much. They had Milton Hill, which was lovely. Of course, we went to the garden party there with the Queen, and she planted a tree. And uh, I think they weren't right. They didn't do it right. Now they've just got Cardiff. But I think it's a pity. Of course, the Red Cross have done the same. Now St John Ambulance are doing the same. Exactly the same. Mm. So I know that they've got to get the finances. But it's a great pity that I'm sorry that they've opted to go for the elderly, because there are a lot of younger people who need the help.
Mm-hmm.
Like these young mums with their young children, people like that. Because I think the elderly are well looked after, help the aged and things like that. And I think it's a great pity, myself, that they've just... when I think what we used to do for young children, I know we couldn't do that. We couldn't do things like the boys' camps anymore.
No,
we couldn't do it because of the. Well, you couldn't, not anymore. We wouldn't be allowed to start with. But we did do a lot of good with it, at the time. So, but I thought I've had my best years. Dovizi and I both agreed that it was wonderful while we were there, and every time we meet the people that we used to work with, they all say, oh wasn't it lovely to all work together. But they still like coming.
Yeah,
I mean, we have a good old chatter. You ought to have heard us last year at the retirement lunch in Birmingham for the association. That was quite something. And I sat opposite Freddie and, oh gosh, what's she called? Lives in the Barbican in London. She used to be in the police. Big lady. Oh dear, can't think of her name. And I've seen her from every time we had an AGM for the association. I used to go to those. Just recently, and she was such fun. But gosh, they chatter, meeting people from all over the country. It was amazing. Yeah, it was sad that finished, but I'm glad that we're keeping going.
Yes, that's good. What is the biggest change that you've experienced during your time with WRVS?
The finish in 1996. It was devastating. We were all devastated. Because it just seemed to go. That's another thing. We had a rally here at Bedford School in 1993, we had a rally, and there were 2,010 members in Bedfordshire then. And that hall and the Bedford School was full to the back. And all the county organisers were at the back, at the front, and we all had 5 minutes to tell everybody what we did and we had a most lovely lunch, and we had a guest of honour. What is her name? One whose daughter vanished and they never found her. She worked for an estate agent, mm-hmm. went to show somebody round. Well, her mother came as a guest of honour, because she got a and she was so lovely. And we had lots of well known dignitaries there, and that was a great day. And of course, once they finished in 1996. I don't know how many members there were left. Very few.
Mm.
I think I was talking to Amanda once. I said, how many people have you got altogether? She said 70. That's all. And people say they don't know WRVS now. So what they're doing, I don't know. Pity.
Mm-hmm. And where would you say Royal Voluntary Service, as it's called now, place in society is today?
I don't know. All I know is the Council of Voluntary Service is here. They used to place it forth from the bottom of their list, which wasn't very good.
No.
I don't know what it is now, because I was on a trustee on their committee for 5 years, and in those days we used to get volunteers from there for WRVS. I don't know what they would say if I asked them now where it would be. I don't know.
And what do you think is the future for Royal Voluntary Service?
Well, I would like to think that it would carry on, but I don't know. I mean, I notified Cardiff about my change of address, but I still haven't received my magazine for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So where it's gone, I don't know.
I'm trying to think whether there actually has been one in the last 6 months, because the last one was just before Christmas.
Oh, well, perhaps that's why.
There hasn't been another one.
There hasn't?
No.
Oh, dear. No. Because I'm sorry, because I think people used to enjoy it. It's nice to know that some of the hospitals have still got... Addenbrookes has still, and Helen, who runs that, used to be the area manager here. I think one of the problems, Jennifer, is that here, this is a huge area, and Debbie Fair lives in Ipswich. She never comes to Bedford. I mean, it's too big an area for her. They've got somebody in. They had somebody in Cambridge who used to say, "Oh, I'm coming to see you." Well, she never did. I don't know who they've got now. I really don't. You see, we lose touch. But I certainly think that doing that was a mistake. I mean, Debbie Fairsby, she used to be. Worked in Luton office with Jackie White for quite a time, and then she went up the hill, and but she lives in Ipswich. She's too far away. same things happened with Red Cross.
Mm.
Too big an area, and they don't keep their they can't do it. It's too far. It's not their fault. It's a pity. And I think it's a great shame that some of the top people get paid such a lot. I think they say they only have to, they have to pay for the best. Well, surely the best can take a bit less, really. But what do they do? We don't hear anything. You don't hear anything about it. At one time, they used to have WRVS ladies. They always had two at the November parade. I never went because I wasn't tall. They used to choose the taller ones. Well, they used to go to Wimbledon as well.
Yes.
Yeah. There's somebody from Flitwick went to Wimbledon once, but there were two in Luton. I think they've got quite an emergency team in Luton. I think they go to London quite a bit if they're needed.
I think they do.
I think they, yes. Ray, I know. I'm sure Ray does. Because they're that much nearer, and they're some of them younger. But there again, they're not all that much younger. All the original ones. But they, I know they, we used to go to, oh yes, they, Lord Mayor's the Lord Mayor's thing in London.
Mm.
We used to go to that. I never went, but they used to go. I mean, there was so much, wasn't there?
Yes, there was an awful lot we used to do.
I mean, the years that I spent were incredible, really. I wouldn't change it.
No.
I could have gone back to my old job, but I didn't. I was trained in institutional management, and I was assistant to the school meals organiser. And then after my children arrived, I got involved with this. That was it.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say is your most memorable moment of being a WRVS volunteer?
Well, I think my memorable moment really was my retirement party at South Wing Hospital, because it was so incredible. I had so many people from all the hospitals were there. And that was incredible, absolutely. And my BEM as well. I've had quite a lot of lovely times. We used to have such nice get-togethers, and everybody worked together. And we used to have lovely Christmas parties. And we used to do, Pat Henderson Begg's husband used to write little sketches, and we used to do those as entertainment lunchtime. And we did Albert and the Lion once. It was great fun. We used to rehearse, and everybody was laughing, and we used to eat our Christmas lunch, all of us. The conference room was full. There's so many of us. Yes, it's happy memories.
Well, thank you, Barbara. Thank you for talking to me about your time with WRVS. It made a really good contribution to our Voices of Volunteering.
Well, I hope so.